Okay, today we're going to get back into groundbreaking Shiva. Tonight we're going to discuss a fascinating topic regarding some of either our favorite or least favorite foods, and that is going to be, what bracha do we make on chocolate? Chocolate is, depending on the person, a staple of their diet or something they strongly avoid, eaten in either brick, cube, or liquid form, cold or hot, with milk. And that is something we want to discuss tonight. What bracha are you going to make when you eat chocolate? We're leaving aside any sort of, you know, Kit Kat, Nikupele, chocolate-covered wafer, all that stuff we're not going to discuss tonight, Eker, Tafel, Mizonos, or the other question that we will discuss tonight, which is, what bracha should we actually be making on chocolate? Is chocolate going to be a Ha'etz, Hadama, or a Shehakol? Or, I guess if you're really, like, ambitious, and you're like, if I eat enough chocolate that I'm Kovea Suda on it, can I bench? Like, ooh, that's a really intense. Not recommended for multiple reasons, least of which is you'll probably throw up from sugar poisoning first. As someone I was talking to recently about drinking on Purim was like, I really like Moscato. I was like, Moscato's delicious, but if you try and get drunk on Moscato, you'll throw up from the sugar before you will from the alcohol, and it's going to end up being significantly worse for everybody. So today we're going to discuss what bracha we should or shouldn't be making on chocolate. Opens off with a fascinating sugya in Brachos Daf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara opens off with a question. What bracha do you make on date honey, or what's commonly known as silan? Okay, what does silan have to do with chocolate?
Well, that's it's from a tree, but you don't eat it as tree produce.
Fantastic. Okay, so the Gemara then tells us that for date honey, you make a shehakol. So then the Gemara asks, well, why is that? Zeh ba'almahu, it's just the sweat of a date, literally meaning juice, right? Date honey is just that which drips out from it. It's not actually an intrinsic part of the fruit. Rather, it is just a byproduct. Okay, the Gemara then continues later on in the Amud and asks the question, Trima Mahu, what is a Trima? Trima, we'll generally use the definition, is going to be a crushed up form of a date, right? Think about date honey being like the juice versus you take like one of those mortar and pestles and, you know, crush the living daylights out of a date until you get this Trima. Okay, so the Gemara then asks the question, what is going to be the bracha? So they say Yativ Ravina, right? Rava wasn't so sure about this. And they say, well, what's also going to be for the, you know, the oil from sesame seeds or the oil made out of saffron? Or if you were to basically crush up grapes to basically make this kind of grape pulp and then you would soak it to then create basically a diluted form of wine. The Gemara at the end of the day says Vehilchata, right? Last line on the Makor there. Tamari Vavdainu Trima Mivarchin Alea Bore Preit. In the case of this Trima, this crushed up date, you make a ha'etz, not a shahakol. There's going to be a difference, seemingly, from the Gemara between the date honey versus the mashed up date mush, right? You take a date, you put it in the blender, or you take a date and you put it in like a hydraulic press until all the date the honey comes out. There's going to be a difference. My time, what's the difference? B'miltayu kaime kidmikara. Because with date honey, that's just the liquid that's coming out of it. When you actually crush up a date, it has the mamashas, it has the ikar, it has the tangible mass of the actual date. That is going to be the difference according to the Gemara. Rashi explains this beautifully, right? Why is date honey going to be shakel? The eno pri. It's not the honey of a date. It has nothing to do with the date. It's that which comes out of the date. And as a result, it's going to be a shehakol as opposed to something that has the actual pieces or is made from the date itself, which is going to be a shehakol, right? Rashi continues, Trima Mahu. Kol davar hakatush ktsat v'ino merusak. It's something that's been, you know, crushed up a lot, but it's not completely like, it's not like you put it in a food processor for 3 hours on, you know, on high speed, and now your date is basically, I don't know, you'd probably have a food processor fire, but if you did that. But practically speaking, in such a case, that would be a high eight because it still has the mamashas of the actual date. The Rambam, right? Darko B'Kodesh, we can't have a shir and migdal without quoting the Rambam at least once. Generally, we try to go for two, but today we're mistopic with one. So I apologize to everyone for that. The Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, Perak Halakha Dalit, says, Dvash tamarim mevarchim anela tchila shakom. For the honey of a date, you make a shakom. But if you were to take a date and you crush it up with your hands, right? You take out the pit first. So you didn't crush the pit into the date because that would probably be oddly gross. The asan kemo isa, and you made it into like a dough or a paste. In such a case, you make ha'et, right? So think about if you go into Rami Levi or your local makolet or wherever guys, you know, do or don't go shopping, for all the guys that, you know, go frequent visit, you know, health food stores and you want to know, you know, all your date products. So there's a difference between the date honey versus like a date paste, right? You couldn't put date honey inside the middle of a humintashen, it would just fall out. You take a little date paste and you stick it inside a humintashen, and then you have date humintashen. Okay? So that the Rambam explains is the difference, right? Mashma from the Gemara and Rashi is the pure liquid Zeva Alma is going to be Sha'akol, but if it is the paste, you make a Hadama, a Ha'etz. It should be noted as just parenthetically. General good klala brachot. If you made a Hadama on something that is supposed to really be Ha'etz, you are Yotze the bracha because, well, yes, Ha'etz is the ideal bracha to make. By definition, when you say Hadama, you're not lying, you're still telling the truth because all trees still come from the ground. So as a result, if you by accident, b'dieved, you made a hadama on something that should have been a ha'etz, that you don't make a new bracha, that is still going to be a good bracha. The Me'iri and Beis Bechira on Daf Lamed Vav and Bracha explains a little bit further that fruit trees, right, or fruit that grows from the ground, what would we call fruit that grows from the ground? That's a vegetable, okay? Just because you use the word peirot doesn't really mean peirot mamish, as our modern Hebrew tells us. Peirot ha'aretz is referring to vegetables. Shenichtashu, o nitchanu, right? They were ground up, or they were like completely minced. They were crushed. They were right. Ein k'tishatan mifakat birkatan. Just because they were crushed or ground up, that doesn't. That's not pokea the bracha from it. It doesn't shift the bracha completely. It's not okay. Shkayach. So it was a date. It grew on a tree. Now it was crushed up. It's still a date. It's just a crushed date. Okay? A crushed date isn't not a date anymore. Right? Think about it like this. If you saw a pile of crushed grapes, you'd be like, oh, those are crushed grapes. If you saw a bottle of wine, you'd be like, oh, it's wine. Right? Similar thing here. If you saw crushed dates versus date honey, it's two totally different things. It's what is the natural mindset of a person, what's going to shift its halachic status. Okay? And as a result, that is what the Miri explains. Now we're going to shift from the world of Gemara Rishonim. We'll shift to the next stage of the Shir, Shulchan Aruch and Nosa Kelim in the world of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, we're going to see two very important sugyas that come up in the Shulchan Aruch, very similar, but both of which are going to have important diukim regarding our sugya. The first one, the Shulchan Aruch, tells us in Siman Reish Bet Siv Zayin, our exactly our Gemara, if you have crushed up dates, okay, and you made it into a paste or a dough, and you took out the seeds first, even though it's completely changed what it looks like, right? Crushed up dates don't look anything like real dates, right? They just look like pulverized date mush, right? Not like a nice little oblong, wrinkled little brown thing, right? Or whatever, you know. I guess it's a relatively fair description of a date, as odd as that sounds. But basically speaking, in such a case, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, right, even though once you've shifted it into paste, just because it's as a shinui tzura, it looks different. That doesn't lead to a shinui bracha, right? Hava Amina would have been, had we not seen the Gemara and the Rambam and Rashi and the Shulchan Aruch, is that by definition, when there's a shinui tzura, when things have completely transformed and shifted, that would lead to a change in the bracha as well. L'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch says, that's not true. It's still going to be a ha'etz no matter what. The Magen Avraham points out beautifully on this, quoting the Trumas Hadeshen, right, Trumas Hadeshen, and the Magen Avraham quotes, is saying that rather you would have thought, right, that, right, sorry, right, if you were, they were completely nimoch, they like melted, right, then it would be a bracha of shahako, right, melted, meaning, I don't know if he's saying like squeezed into date honey, or you kind of like, I don't know, maybe you put it in like a kiln for like, you know, 24 hours, slow cooking at like 1,000 degrees, and it just turned into a pile of you know, runny date stuff. I don't know exactly what he's referring to nimoach. I've never really tried to, you know, toast a date over a fire like a marshmallow and see what happens. But assuming you did something to turn into liquid, that would for sure be a shakel. But assuming not, then it's going to be a ha'etz. Okay. So then he quotes the Shulchan Aruch that we'll see a little later. We'll see that in the next Shulchan Aruch side. But he says, but if something that is not, sorry, he's quoting the Shulchan Aruch later. No, let's see the second Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch that the Magen Avraham quotes is in Reish Gimel Zayin, right, where he says, "Besamim shchukim umuravim sukar." If there's some sort of a besamim, some sort of spice that you always crush up and you add in some sugar to it, then the besamim are still the ikar, right? Just because you add sugar to something, that doesn't mean that the sugar is ikar, right? The sugar is not the main thing. The sugar is just there to help make it a little sweeter, right? You make a bracha based on the bracha of the besamim, not the sugar. right? So if you're like an odd guy and you really like the flavor of black pepper, but black pepper straight is a little too much for you. So you have like a mortar and pestle, you add in some, you know, you take some peppercorns, you take in some sugar cane, and you crush it together and you eat it with a spoon. You have a lot of other questions that we could ask on the, you know, this maisa. But the bracha wouldn't go based on the sugar, it would go based on the sugar, the peppercorns. Because that is, even though they're spices and they're ground up and they're mixed with other things, they retain the original bracha because the ikar is clearly the peppercorns. That is the main part of our of what you're looking for. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, Masha'en Ken, going back to the Magen Avraham, right? If the thing is something you would never ever eat as it is, right? Liot Merusak. You never, She'en Darko Tadjer, 90% of the time, you never would eat this type of food as such. Okay, so in a case where no one or you never would eat such a thing ground up or pulverized in such a way, then it would be a shahakal. But something that's almost always going to be eaten in this ground up manner, then for sure it would retain its original bracha. That's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch tells us in both Reish Bet and Reish Gimel, right? So I don't know about you, but I don't know many people that just eat cocoa beans plain, or peppercorns plain, or, you know, let's just take a bite into ginger root, right? Those are not so common, right? Same thing with coffee beans. So yeah, they sell chocolate-covered coffee beans. I don't know about you. Generally, chocolate-covered coffee beans are like weird and gritty and gross. Even if you like coffee and you like chocolate, the like plain bean in the middle is not like a, I don't know, they sell them, so I guess there's people out there that like them, and maybe I'm just biased by my own dislike. And being, you know, I'm projecting it on everyone else. But most people don't just eat plain beans. Rather, they are eating them as part of a tarovet. They're grinding them up. They're mixing it with sugar and cocoa butter and whatever else, you know, peanut butter this and whatever else is going on. So, similarly for the Magen Avraham Shulchan Aruch, if it's something that you're always going to eat as such, then you would make a ha'etz. But if it's something that's never, ever done, it's like a crazy thing that you happen to one time do that, then maybe it would be a shakal. Mishnah Berurah says very similar things. So even though it was completely grounded, you put it in the food processor or the blender, or you took like, you know, two knives and you're doing one of those like fancy chef things where, you know, you're cutting it simultaneously with both hands without cutting your own arm off, and like you're getting all fancy and cool. So in such a case, the Mishnah Berurah says, even though it's totally shinui tzura, you still make ha'etz. Why? Because it's still the mamish, right? The kiyum adavar of the original fruit is still there, unlike the juice of the date. Thus, you would say you'd make a hadama or a ha'etz in those situations. Then the Mishnah Berurah goes further and says, but it also tells you, what's the general population do, right? Right? What does he say? Practically speaking, if the majority of the world eats said food in a crushed up or chopped fashion, then even though it's shifted surah, 100%, you still make the hadamar or the eighth and not the shakal. Okay? But, same thing with the besamim mixed in with sugar. And so the Mishnah Berurah later on in Reish Gimel also says very similar things. Even if they're broken up so much that it's not nicker at all what it originally came from, right? It's completely changed forms, right? You have this nice fine brown powder in front of you. I don't know if that's pepper. I don't know if that is chocolate. I don't know if that's coffee. Even it looks nothing like any of them. I don't know. It's just a nice fine black powder, brown powder. I don't know. Even so, it would still be the original bracha because that is the way. That's the ikar tashmish. That's what the Mishnah Berurah would say. Okay. Even and then he continues in Yud Gimel and Reish Gimel Yud Gimel. Even if the majority of the spice blend is sugar, so now he's saying it's not only ikar and tafel, it's not only nikar v'eino nikar, right? Whether it's identifiable or not. But it's even if the majority is the sugar and the minority is the chocolate, right? You know, Hershey's like 2% chocolate and like 98% sugar. I don't actually look up numbers, but it's considered a very, very low chocolate percentage compared to sugar percentage as opposed to other finer quality chocolates. Okay?
Finer quality.
Okay? So that is a summary of where we are till now, seemingly. Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham, Trumas HaDeshen, Mishnah Berurah. I would think if we are standing where we are right now, that on chocolate, and we could put in parentheses also chocolate, is going to also be coffee and hot chocolate and anything else that kind of falls under the genre of things that we don't naturally eat as is, but rather we've shifted as a society and natural eating habits, what we use them for, they would seemingly be ha'eitz/hadama depending on the on what it is. Mishnah Berurah saying that applies even if majority is something else, aka majority is cocoa butter or sugar, right? Because you're not one of these like 70% dark chocolate or higher only type of guys.
Chocolate connoisseurs.
Exactly. You don't have like one of those.
Offended if they if their chocolate dares to taste good.
Okay, see which side of the debate you're on. But yeah, basically that's what we're holding now. So now we want to shift over and start the discussion of groundbreaking tshuva of the last century. See what the Gdolei Achronim had to say about this fascinating and interesting topic that is going to change your lives forever. Or not. Depending on what the maskana at the end of this year and your personal inclinations and that of your posek is. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi or Rosh Yeshiva. I don't know the posek of the yeshiva, so ask him. But we'll discuss some of the Migdal Rebbeim in the Shir as a parenthetical. Chazon Ish, right? Chazon Ish has a fascinating opinion where he writes in Or Chaim Lamed Gimel, hey, regarding orange juice. Wait, Rabbi, I thought we were talking about chocolate. Orange juice. What's better for breakfast than a nice cup of freshly squeezed orange juice? What bracha do you make on freshly squeezed orange juice, Ezra?
I don't drink orange juice. But if I did...
Because there's no oranges in Chicago.
No, that's not why, no. But if I did drink orange juice, I would make a shahakol.
Shlomo? Assuming there were oranges in the winter of Toronto, what bracha would you make on freshly squeezed oranges?
Seems because there's shulchan aruch that you would make a shahakol.
Okay. Because you're going to say that's similar to the duvsha de tamre. Yeah. It's like the date honey. Okay, very interesting. So let's see what the chazan is like. What? Pulp. Oh, fascinating point. Maybe it depends on how much you filter it. Fascinating, right? Very good, Ara. Chazanish writes, if you were to squeeze a fresh orange, right? I mentioned this the other day to one of the guys, underratedly, the Hebrew word tapuz, right? We have two new olim, so we'll count this now. Now you can be like Yotzi Zion for Ulpan. Tapuz, right? It means orange. It's really Roshe Tevo for tapuach zahav. I know, a golden apple. Next time, what sounds better, an orange? Oh, it's a golden apple, right? Yeah, I hear. So, the Chazon Ish points out golden apples, aka oranges, which people will squeeze into a cup, and then there's nothing left of like there's nothing left. If you like really squeeze an orange, like a nice cup of juice, there's nothing else left besides the rind. You really squish it completely, which is different than a date honey where there's still some more mamashos left inside, apparently. So Chazon Ish says, in such a case, you would make a ha'eh. Because that's what comes out Ikar Halacha L'Maisa from the Shulchan Aruch Ramah in Reish Bet Zion that we saw before. Chazon Ish says, freshly squeezed orange juice, you would make ha'et. It should be noted, as I put it on the Mar Makor sheet, there's a, I think, 4 or 5 volume set called Orchos Rabbeinu, which basically details all of the personal hanhagos and stories and like everything the Chazon Ish ever did so that we could learn, right? You want to learn from what the Chazon Ish actually did, not just what he said. And so there they write that even though, and the Chuchani of Nissim Karelitz, was Nifter a few years ago, I think 2 years ago or so, 2-3 years ago, also writes us in a Sefer on Barachos and Chuchani, that in a Chinami, the Chazon Ish held, Lamaisa, really, we should say a ha'etz on chocolate or fresh squeezed orange juice, but the Chazon Ish himself held like Minaga Olam, and he himself would make a shakal. But if let's say you made a mistake and you remember we had a shir about this topic, but you didn't remember the maskana of the shir, because you know, you left early, you fell asleep, the shir was boring, whatever, you know, it's hard to speak before dinner, but when you smell the food heating up in the back, in the kitchen over here, you know, the food, the smell wafts and it distracts you from the shir. Like, I remember the debate. It must be ha'etz, right? So you make a ha'etz, Chazon Ish, and Rav Eliyashiv says the same thing. Me'ikar adin, really it is ha'etz. But minag is that it's shahako, so really we should shahako. But if you said ha'etz, because that's the bracha, me'ikar adin, 100% you would say you don't make a new bracha. So that is Chazon Ish. Really, it's ha'et, but the Chazon Ish himself was no way to really make a shakal, but make her a din, he really did hold that it was ha'et. The one who made this sugya actually really famous is Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I mentioned to someone I was discussing this sugya with this morning, and I said, it's funny, you know, we call this series Groundbreaking Shuvah of the Last Century. Generally, Rav Shlomo Zalman is not the rabble-rouser of the postkim. He's not really the one who always gets the most press time for crazy chuvot or weird psakim. But this is one of his more famous ones that are you know, mind-blowing. Rav Shlomo Zalman takes a very, very strong stance. What bracha? He says, the minhag ha'olam is to make a shakal on chocolate. But no, the world is wrong. You should make a ha'etz on chocolate. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. This isn't some random guy who's never opened up a Shulchan Aruch before. This is the Posek Hador in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. Rosh Yeshiva's called Torah, right? Rav Shlomo Zalman, this is the real deal. And Rav Micha Shlomo. And it's not even like, oh, his grandson wrote a sefer quoting random psukim that he heard from him. This is Rav Shlomo Zalman's own hand. He wrote these shuvos. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, really? Shokolad Hari, umamish okal gamar. Chocolate is a real food. And Zulchan Aruch says, just like the Besamim case, right? And the Magen Avraham, right? The chocolate, right? About a third of the way down. The Im came, Hari gam cacao, derech ha-kidatam rakali de kitush, virisuk, vishlavarach ha-zeborei priya eitz. Because the main purpose of chocolate is you take the beans and you crush them up and you grind them and you turn them into this bar of chocolate. That is the derech ha-chila. That's what everyone does. For sure, no questions asked for Shlomo Zalman. Ha-eitz. Okay? Especially, even more so, if it's a 50% cocoa or higher chocolate. Right? We're leaving Hershey's in the dust here, and we're moving into the nice stuff. Right? 50% or higher, there's not even a discussion. It's pasha. Right? Right? And he says, it's even a bigger question. I don't understand. Mele for the Ashkenazim, we have a machloket. Okay. The Sfaradim Paskin like the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, Maran, Habes Yosef. How could the Sfaradim make Esha Hakol? It's so clear for the Shulchan Aruch. It's clearly Ha'etz on chocolate. So for the Ashkenazim, okay, maybe there's what to discuss, even though from his own quotes of the Magen Avraham, the Mishmur that we saw inside before, it seems pretty clear for Ashkenazim, it really should be Ha'etz also. But for Sfaradim, not to follow the Habes Yosef, whoa, that's crazy. Okay, and then he says, and yeah, so, right? And then I thought, maybe we could argue that chocolate, it's not eaten on its own, right? It's not eaten raw. We cook it, we roast it, we mix in other stuff. And often we mix it in. The chocolate's only a minority. Very rarely is chocolate going to be more than 50%. You know, the butter, the milk, the sugar, the, you know, other random stuff they put in, the fillers, right? It's like, it's kind of like the... It's like the schnitzel of food. It's, you know, or the hot dog of chocolate, you know? There's some toenails, there's some gizzard, there's like a little bit of an inner intestines, right? It's not real pure chocolate. It's not real pure beef hot dogs. It's not real, chicken breast schnitzel. It's kind of whatever they put in the blender and threw together, you know, to be marbit, to make it, you know, to get more for their money, I guess, as they say. Right? But no, that's not going to be the case here. Why? Right, that, based on what we just said, I would have thought that's matzdik the minhag of a shekel. Because it's minority chocolate, and the majority is the sugar, and it's the butter, and it's the milk, and it's like, Ellie said before, the cheap stuff is the yummy stuff. The connoisseurs toot their nose in the air at the gross stuff, right? That's paraphrasing what Ellie basically said. Okay? And what we're trying to say here, from someone said, based on that logic, I would have thought really shekel, it should be a shekel. But no, here's why he disagrees. Because in Royal Achila, they tikkun v'tarovas in Dvarim Achirim. After the ain't called Zeh Kol Kach Chashuv. By definition, because no one eats chocolate plain, no one eats raw chocolate beans, cocoa beans, it's not edible. It's not Royal Achila. So that's kilu, it's negligible. We don't care about it. It's written off the books. Really, you need to eat it straight. Only Ayde Tarovit is it edible. Basically, skipping down, we're going to skip, we're going to not read the rest in time. I want to see other postgame as well. Rav Shlomo Zalman holds very, very clearly that chocolate is going to be ha'etz. Minhag Olam, totally wrong. I don't know what they're doing. They got it all backwards. These people are crazy. Change what you're doing. Bracha for chocolate, ha'etz. Okay?
Got it.
Who was convinced by this? Rav Shlomo Zalman to change everything they did in their life. Game-changing psak. Yeshiva Migdal HaTorah's very own Rabbi Jonathan Ziering. Makes a ha'etz on chocolate. I remember hearing this from him in a shir on my Torah a few years ago. When I was preparing these makaras, I was like, how come Rabbi Ziering makes a ha'etz? And we're giving the shir in Migdal. Like, how can you not quote Rabbi Ziering on, you know, in his own base medrash?
Rabbi Ziering makes ha'etz.
Mm-hmm. That's what we just said, yeah. All right, so I said, it was Moshe Shabbos. I sent Rabbi Ziering on WhatsApp. I was like, I recall hearing such a thing. I just want to make sure I'm not, like, you know, making this up. He's like, yeah, totally. I was like, do you also make it on milk chocolate? And he was like, I don't like milk chocolate. I only like the dark, fancy stuff that Ellie hates. So he's like, I don't really eat milk chocolate, but I hear there's root that... I'm not sure what I'd make out of milk chocolate, but look, chas v'sholom, like, I would ever eat milk chocolate. Like, I'm way better than that, right? He didn't say that. I was just going to you know, making it sound a little more juicy, not putting words in Rabbi Ziering's mouth, but just kind of, yeah. So basically, Rabbi Ziering and Rav Avadi, also a major posik, the posik in Lakewood, major posik in Lakewood, also holds its ha'etz. Okay? You guys, Rabbi Ziering, maybe tomorrow he'll bring in chocolate and he'll make a ha'etz and y'all be like, now what? Good question. Rav Nevensal Shlita has there's a series of Mishnah Berurah called Beitzak Yikare with the footnotes. Rav Nevensal wrote footnotes on the Mishnah Berurah. And in those footnotes, in our sugya, Rav Nevensal writes, Al Shokola Das Adoni Mori Virabi, right? My great Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman, right? Said, Me'ikra Din, what's the bracha? Ezra? Ha'et, great. Shlomo, thank you for coming. Ezra, Hatzalas Nefashas, he saved Ezra big time there. Okay? Rav Nevensal says, Mori Virabi, Rav Shlomo Zalman said it's Ha'et. But, Lamaisa, he told me and he told other people, that really you should still make a shahakal because that's the minhag olam. Einachinami, you open up a sugya, you open up, you learn it, you make a ha'etz on the chocolate, no questions asked. But when Rav Shlomo Zalman was sitting there giving chocolates to his grandchildren on a Shabbos afternoon, he told his grandchildren to make a shahakal. So that's the ma'aser Rav Shlomo Zalman, right? Rav Nevensal points out, Rav Shlomo Zalman really failed maker, then we say ha'etz, but b'dieved, because the minhag olam was to make a shahakal, that's what we should do, but make... Right, Rav Shlomo Zalman said similar to what we said with the Chazon Ish, and we'll see later with the Rabbi Yashiv, that, yeah, if you made a ha'etz accidentally, you would already be yotzei. Where does this nekuda of ha'etz being the ikar din come up? Let's say you're having a tish, or a shalom zachar, or whatever other, you know, stuff you do, and there's a whole, like, buffet of random assorted treats and desserts on the table in front of you, and let's say there's some chocolate, and there's some nuts, and some fruit, and whatever else is going on. What brach, and you made, let's say, right? Kedimos and brachos. You generally make a ha'etz before you make a piece of you eat a piece of chocolate. This is what Rav Yashiv says. Right? You generally would eat, you make a ha'etz before you make a shahakal, correct? Rav Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman would agree with this, and Rav Chazon Ish would agree with this also. Said, if I took a piece of, let's go down, I took a handful of pomegranate seeds. Gevaldic, bright, red, juicy, delicious pomegranate seeds. And I made a ha'etz. That ha'etz, because the chocolate was on the table in front of me, I patterned the chocolate, because Mikra Adin, the bracha on chocolate, is ha'etz. And as a result, I wouldn't make a new shackle on the chocolate at the Shalom Zachar or the Tish. As a result, Rav Yashiv says, in such a situation, what should you do? We change the kedimas in the order of brachos, and we make a shackle on the chocolate before you make the ha'etz, on the apple, because if you made the ha'etz first, or the pomegranates, or whatever else, then you wouldn't make a new shahakal on the chocolate. Psaka Rav Yashiv, and so would agree Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Chazon Ish. And to be honest, based on this piece, the other day I decided for breakfast, I took some oranges and I fresh squeezed some orange juice. I ate a piece of orange, and I had to put some water in the cup. I made a shahakal on just the water, and then I ate an orange, made ha'etz, and I drank my fresh orange juice. That's the great din, I should be saying. So because it's self-savic, I drink some water first and made a shakal in the water in mind for the juice as well. But that's definitely what to say. Shoot Dvar Chevron, right? Rav Dov Lior, major posek in, it was the Rav of Kiryat Arba, Rosh Yeshiva Nir, major posek in the Dati Lumi Tzibur. He paskins halacha lemaisen. So he tells his Talmidim, for coffee and for chocolate, you make a ha'etz. And then he says, even if it's minority cocoa, you still make ha'etz. Why? Because everyone looks at that bar of chocolate and says, oh, that's chocolate. It's got like that distinct, beautiful, luscious brown. Everyone knows that's chocolate. No one thinks otherwise. It's nicker that it's chocolate, even if it's only minority. And as a result, that's going to be the case. A friend of mine I was discussing the sugya with was also preparing shirim on brachos that he's giving in the summer. Said that, right, he asked me for the makoros that I had, and then he said he saw somewhere else in one of these online Shilas and Shuvos websites where they quote often from Rav Lior, that Rav Lior wrote, someone asked him about coffee on whatever website. I didn't have a chance to look it up since he told me it's on Shabbos and I forgot till just now. So I wasn't able to look it up on Shabbos because we don't use electricity or internet on Shabbos. I apologize for those that were looking for a heter. Keep looking.
We don't use it ever.
Yeah, right, we don't use the web ever. That's a good point. But especially not on Shabbos. But basically, apparently, Rav Lior in a tshuva on this website wrote that really you should make a shahakal on coffee because of the minhag olam, and even though similar to Rav Shlomo Zalman, really you should make ha'et, but apparently on this website Rav Dov Lior said that you should make a shahakal lemaisa, but in Yishayos and Shufa, in his sefer, he says to make ha'et, and so I heard that he's told Talmidim. So basically, till now, we have Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Dov Lior, the Chazon Ish, Rav Yashiv, Me'ikar Din, really it's chocolate. Sorry, Me'ikar Din, it is a ha'et that you make on the chocolate. Practically speaking, because of the minhag, you should still make a shahakal. Now let's shift gears a little bit. We have 15 minutes left. See some of the tshuvos that hold very clearly that it is just a chocolate. It is just a shahakal. Wow. Rav Moshe says a one-liner in the middle of a different tshuva. Rav Moshe basically just says, you make a chocolate. You make a shahakal on chocolate. As always, Rav Moshe, I always get a lot of hana. We've discussed in the past when Rav Moshe transliterates English words into Hebrew. How does he spell chocolat? Right? Not in the common way. Shin, aleph, kuf, aleph, lamed, aleph, dalid. Just, I don't know, I find it a little bit humorous. So, you don't have to find it funny, and that's okay. I happen to, but that's all good. Okay. Shevet Alevi, Rav Shmuel Alevi, Vosner, right? Major Hasidic posek in Bnei Brak, who was nifter, when I was in the army, I think it was 2015? Pesach 2014 he was nifter. Pesach 2014 or 2015. It's Pesach, I was in the army. And so Rav Vosner was nifter very recently. He's also asked the question about whether or not, right, what do we think? There was the Gadol of a Torah who says that really the bracha is ha'et. Do you think we should change the minhag or not? And Rav Vosner and Shimon Levy points out, no, chocolate isn't, it's not just ground up cocoa beans. Rather, it's mixed in with so many other things. It's majority cocoa butter and it's cooked first, and it's roasted, and it's added sugar, right? And then we melt it down, and then we congeal it. So it's not only that it's just roasted beans mixed in with other stuff, but it's completely different. The final product, it's been melted, it's been liquefied, it's congealed, right? It's just completely changed upside down. We took that chocolate, and we flipped it back over its head in something totally new. And as a result, because you totally, right, and he points out, the plain cocoa beans, just as it is, are incredibly bitter. No one in their right mind just eats a bitter plain cocoa bean, right? And as a result, Rav Vosner says, you should make a shahakal. This ha'etz thing, I hear where they're coming from, but that's just not what we're talking about. It's total shinoi tzura. We've added so many other things. No one eats a plain. Rav Vosner, shahakal. Shlomo's like, that's right, shahakal. I like this Rav Vosner guy. You're sitting next to each other. You're both from Toronto, but I thought, you know, I guess it makes you close. Yeah.
Aside from the fact that you went to the same high school and you were in the same class.
And the same yeshiva.
I have a brother named Shlomo, who my siblings usually mistake me for.
I apologize. I hope you didn't.
Wow.
Shlomo, do you also have a brother named Shlomo that people mistake you for?
No, he's got a bunch of other brothers.
Okay, now let's see the Or Letzion. Or Letzion, or Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Ben Porat Yosef in the Old City. Major, major Sephardi posek and gadol of the last century. Right? Five volumes of Or Letzion. Two or three years ago, they came out with the fifth volume. That was the first volume on Yerodea. Very, very fun tshuvot. And what's interesting about them, generally the tshuvos up top are like a 1 to 3 line answer, and then the footnotes give a little bit more of the rachava. So it's something that, you know, if you're not so interested in going all the way into the sigya, give you a little bit of a kitzer derech. I'm very, very interesting tshuvot. As much as he was a Sephardi gadol, he very much... Unlike Rav Ovadia, the Or Letzion was very much noted often to include Piskei HaRamah and Ashkenazi poskim. Wasn't just, oh, the Shulchan Aruch says this and that's it. Very often he looked back at what the other Sfardim and Hagim and other Kilos were and the Dvarim of the Piskei Din of the Ramah and not just whatever the Shulchan Aruch says is good. Right? Up top, the Or Letzion just says very simply, you make a shackle on the chocolate. He then says, okay, and then the footnote, he says, yeah, it seems to be that you make a shackle. Why? Because the cocoa tree is one of the Atei Srak, right? It's a tree that doesn't naturally give off fruit, which the or not getting the whole sugi in the Gemara, what Atei Srak really is. But the Zohar tells us that an Atei Srak, whatever fruit happens to come from an Atei Srak, makes a shakal. Doesn't matter. Because of the tree is this unique form of tree, we only make a shakal on it. Okay? And then he says, he goes to Magen Avraham and the Taz, and Odach Ronim that said, even though the fruit is able to be eaten on its own, you would make ha'etz. And so it was brought down in the Shana Mitzvos, in the name of the Arizal, and the Birkei Yosef. that you would make, even in such a case, right? It's like a sabra from a cactus. They say, really, you would still make a ha'etz. Can I get what the Shulchan Aruch said? Right, and that was, and the minhag was, on a sabra, you'd make a ha'etz, even though it comes from a cactus. So the minhag seemingly is not like the Shulchan Aruch. Mashma, I would have thought that he's going to now come in and hit us over the head. That chocolate is going to be a ha'etz as well. But no. Rather, he says, Mikol makom nireh. Rather, excuse me, that, practically speaking, we're not going to differentiate between different types of fruits, okay, which are ready to be eaten as they are, parentheses, not cocoa beans, like a sabra, and fruits that are never eaten as they are, that need these crazy tikkunim and adding other things and cooking them, mixing them up, changing their substance, their format, their texture, their texture, everything about it. Literally all that's left about the chocolate is this little hint of chocolate, right? It's like the back of a wine bottle. Like, oh, there's hints of aromatic peaches and white and vanilla and hints of chocolate and raspberry and fine oak. And it's like, where are the grapes in all this mixture? That's basically what the chocolate is, right? It's like 2% chocolate, 98% sugar and cocoa butter and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. That's not called, right? It's a tikkun gadol, right? Hari pule a cacao tzrichim tikkun gadol shebetzura tam.
How much research do you think went into the, I imagine this is the sort of thing, it strikes me a little like discussions of electricity, like the amount of research.
No, plenty of research went into this.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. I'm saying, to be really honest, before I prepared this year, I when I was preparing this year, I was messaging with my sister, for she spent 4 or 5 years working as a at a very upscale kosher chocolate store. So I sent her some questions. You know, what are normal statistics, percentages, this and that? She's like, I don't know what anyone else does. I know what we did, and I can't repeat it for confidentiality reasons on the recording. So I also don't remember. To be honest, but that's fine. Basically speaking, what he says here at the end of the day is because there's oil and there's this, there's that, and it sits a long time and it congeals and it melts and it's so far removed, right? It's watered down, it's this and that, right? Because it needs such a crazy tikkun, it goes through this whole process to become edible. That's not called shahako. That's not called ha'etz. Ha'etz is you take an apple off the tree and you take a bite. Obviously, you're mafresh trumas and maestros. Oh, you're standing in the orchard, so you don't have to be mafresh trumas and maestros. Givaldik, what's better than that? Shemitah, in the orchard, eating an apple. It's not yet kedusha, but in a few months, when apples are kedusha, givaldik. That's where it's at. Mamish gishmak. But chocolate, you threw it in the blender, you roasted it, you toasted it, you boiled it, you this, you that, you added this, and right, a little bit of... That's like not even chocolate anymore. Yeah, Rav Dov Lior says it has the color. That's nicker. You know what? It's probably all food dye today, any day, anyhow, in the cheap chocolates. That's why it's always the same color. It wouldn't surprise me if they added, you know, some sort of brown food coloring for, you know, quality control, meaning, you know, measures to make sure that it's always the same. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. So, or Letzion, right, or Vincion Abba Shaul, it is going to be a shehakol. We'll skip to the end of the Makor Roshitz, just once we're on the Rav Vincion Abba Shaul, just stick within the Sephardi tradition for a minute. So too is brought down in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch of the Alkut Yosef, Rav Ovadia Yosef's son, the current Rishon Letzion Hineni, Maran, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the current Sephardi chief rabbi. He writes very clearly, on chocolate, the minhag is the Sheshahako, right? Shinui Tam, Shinui Tzura, yada yada yada. Sephardim, no questions asked. You make a shahakol. Even though Rav Shlomo Zalman said explicitly, I don't get the Svardim saying a shahakol. It should clearly be Haetz for the Svardim. Mela, we could discuss it for the Ashkenazim, but for Svardim, Maran, Abes Yosef. But even after seeing that it said Piskei Din by Rav Shlomo Zalman, questioning Minhagi Sfarad, Rav Ovadia's son, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, and the Or Letzion still held Lamaisa, you make a shahakol on chocolate. So, I ain't shown what you want to do as a Sephardi. But seemingly, I assume Minhag HaSfarad is for sure to go by the Or Letzion and Rav Ovadia. And when I spoke to Rav Batat about it, he said, you know, Rav Batat's the Rosh Kol, Sephardi. I asked him about it. He's a for sure Pashtus. He said, and he doesn't eat so much chocolate. He's like very into eating healthy. But he said, the Maisa, he makes a shakal when he has chocolate. You know, unlike, you know, he doesn't see so much of the discussion. And when I spoke to Rav Gittin about it also, he was also Rav Gittin with Ashkenazi. The Rav Yishuv Novaya Alon and Rosh Kol Dayanus in Shalvin also thought, he said he makes a shakal on chocolate as well. Now we're going to see the tshuva of Rav Sternbach and wrap And then we'll wrap up. We have 5 minutes left. So Rav Sternbach opens off and he says, I saw this little pamphlet that was put out by Rav Gavriel Krauss from England, all about where Rav Krauss wants to say, chocolate is haitz. Chocolate's haitz. That's what this dying Rabbi Krauss from England says. If anyone's from England and knows Rabbi Krauss is, I'd love to know. But I did not have a chance to Google it and I genuinely don't know who he is. But I assume if you wrote this book on chocolate and Rav Sternbach calls him Rabbi Gon, then I assume, Lekor is Talmud Chacham. And he claims it's Ha'etz. Okay? Rav Sternbach then goes, I don't get it. The Minhag is to Shehakol and the Makor Bracha, quotes from the Pachad Yitzchak. That really, you maybe should have made Ha'etz, okay? But then practically speaking, he says the Minhag is to make a Shehakol. Okay? He keeps going and says they wanted to make a. Basically, going through, he says you can't compare chocolate that has nothing added to it to the chocolate that we eat today that's hafuk min hafuk. It's the exact opposite of everything possible. About the original chocolate. And so he says, I saw the Minchas Shlomo also says, really, we should maybe make a ha'etz on it, even though it's totally changed, the Bracha L'maaseh, right? But, radically speaking, you really do make a ha'etz, according to Rav Shlomo's on, but you go back, you make a shakal. Okay? Practically speaking, he goes even further, he says, when making chocolate today, ikaro raketavlin, lanasatam, vitamatavlin, ikar, what you burn, right? It's like the chocolate's just like adding a little bit of spice to affect the taste of this other mixture, right? The chocolate's just there to give a little bit of chocolatiness, but that's not really the ikar. The ikar is all the other stuff, right? It's the tosefet nefach, as we discussed in Yoredeh in different cases, right? Maybe you get more hanah from the added mass and the volume than you do from the actual flavor, okay? Even though the minhag olam really is to make a shakol, and that's what we should do. You should be stomach on that to make a shakol. And if you have these really, really... if you have like very fancy special chocolate that people eat in order to when they have diarrhea, right? He says here, right? If you have the runs, so you have this like really fancy dark chocolate that helps apparently clog you up a little bit, you eat the fresh chocolate because you really like the flavor, so and there's no other mixtures, it's just pure chocolate. So then you should make a ha'etz if you're having anti-diuretic chocolate. Then vada, you make a ha'etz because it's pure chocolate. If you only eat 100% cocoa beans, then Rav Sternbach would say you should make a ha'etz. But anyone who's right, anything other types of chocolates, for sure you should make a shakal. But b'di'evet, right, like the minhag, b'di'evet though, if you made a ha'etz, you're going to be good. And so we mentioned the Chazon Ish, sorry, the Rav Yashiv before. Really, mikra din, it's ha'etz. Okay, and so too, chutshani is going to be. Shehakol, and so it's brought down the Vizos HaBracha as well. Lamaisa, we say a Shehakol at the end of the day. That's really our share of 2-3 minute summary. Let's go back to the top. Gemara and Brachos, Lamachetam and Aleph tells us that on date honey, we make a Shehakol. On crushed, mushed up, blended date stuff, date paste, you're going to make a Ha'etz. Rashi points out, because it's a question of the mushrooms and the pre, that's what the Gemara says. And so it's brought down in the Gemara. The Meiri points out, right, anything that's nechtash or nitchan, right, that doesn't shift the bracha because it still has the actual piece of fruit in it. That seems to come out from the Gemara Rishonim. Shulchan Aruch in two different cases discusses a case where if you have something that's mushed or crushed in a paste, then it still retains its original bracha, or in Reish Gimel, similar with spices. You take spices and you crush them, mash them all up. It's still going to retain its original bracha. Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah, right, are going to discuss this, go a step further. How does it work, right? Rov Tashmish, right, is going to be for what's the majority of what's used for, what do most people want, okay, all those discussions. Then we saw basically three different shitas in the postkin. Shita one, we saw the Chazon Ish and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Really, it's Ha'etz, Lamaisa, both of them, their Talmidim point out that practically speaking, they held to make a shahakal because that is the minhag olam, even though he felt mitzad the sugya, really one should make a ha'etz. Okay? Rav Nevin Saul, B'shem Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Chasar Beinu, B'shem Chazon Ish, and Rav Yashiv take this a step further. That in Achim Nami, we do make a shahakal because that's the minhag on chocolate, and we don't change the minhag. But, me'ikar adin, the bracha really should be ha'etz. My nafka mina of saying the minhag versus ikar adin, because what if I accidentally made a ha'etz? Or I have multiple things on the table at once, and I make a ha'etz on the fruit. That would really potter the piece of chocolate on the table, and thus, in such a case, we should go connected what we normally do in Seder HaBrachos and make the shakel before the Ha'etz, because otherwise we run into this discussion when the Minhag is to make a shakel, right? We said Rabbi Ziering himself, Bechvodo Ve'atzmo, right? I don't know if you guys are in a shir, but you all know Rabbi Ziering, as you see him around the base of Medrash, Big Talmud Chacham, and Rav Abadi from Lakewood. Say, Lamaisa, you make a Ha'etz on chocolate. Okay? And then, practically speaking, Rav Sternbach, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Vosner, and the Vizos HaBracha all point out that really it's Shehakol. So to point out, Achinu Bnei Gedolei HaSfarad, Dor Letzion, and Rav Avadi Yosef, Elchut Yosef, and Rav Yitzhak Yosef, connected what Rav Shlomo Zalman said in the name of the Sfardim, that really Lamaisa, they do make a Ha. They make a Shehakol, even though Rav Shlomo Zalman thought for Sfardim, for sure they should make Ha 8. And now everyone should ask their own posek, what, Rebbe, what do you make on our chocolate? But obviously, before you ask your posek the shayla, the most appropriate thing to do is to go over to the makolet, you buy a bunch of bars of chocolate, you get the high quality, all dark chocolate, you get the mix, you get the milk, the vanilla, and you have a taste test, you have a, right, you sit down, you make a whole little, you get the wines that pair nicely with the different chocolates, and you ask your Rebbe, we have a bunch of chocolates here, we need a psach halacha, what bracha are we gonna make? And Bezrat Hashem, next week, we'll go on to the next fun and interesting topic that has yet to be decided.